It's my pleasure to be here today to present kind of a summary of some of the component aspects of nitrogen management that we've been hearing about from the list of speakers earlier on today in the symposium. So this is kind of a change of gears presentation that I'll be giving as it's a summary, but also maybe setting the stage for the last three speakers of the seminar symposium that will be talking more about forward-looking aspects of nitrogen management, looking on into the future. I'd like to thank my co-author Mark Jeschke at Pioneer for his help with this presentation. Well, I think everyone that's been involved with agriculture and certainly precision agriculture realizes that there's plenty of variability out there in our fields that we're trying to manage. And when we're talking about variable rate nitrogen management, there are plenty of opportunities as well as challenges to go around. Now, any one of you, and I'm sure there are many examples in this room that have either written a grant proposal on variable rate nitrogen or have presented a variable rate nitrogen program to a grower as you, the vendor, have gone through all these possible opportunities and benefits of variable rate nitrogen at the field level. Obviously, you can minimize areas of fields that will be under-fertilized, thereby increasing the total yield achieved in that field. You can also minimize the areas in that field that are over-fertilized, and thereby reducing the unnecessary input of nitrogen fertilizer, thereby saving money, and in the process perhaps also incurring an environmental benefit, which has, we all agree, some value, just a little bit hard to quantify that value, and possibly even variable rate nitrogen might even give improved and more consistent grain quality. And now, I think for those of you that weren't true believers before you came to this seminar, what you've seen today and certainly this afternoon will make you believe and realize that we have not only the software, the equipment, and the human resources to both develop and implement variable rate nitrogen strategies in the field. The big challenge remains, how do we do this? How can we implement this in the field and be able to predict optimum nitrogen rates accurately as well as economically? Because remember, this is an A9 symposium where this is addressed to practicing professionals, and if you can't do it economically and pretty accurately, it's going to be hard to sell at the farm level if you're making your living selling agronomy. So in some senses, the place that I'm starting here is just the agronomy of nitrogen fertilizer recommendations, and this is nothing new. It's been around for a long time, and what you know and what you've heard today just reinforces the fact that nitrogen recommendations are based on a number of things, number of sources of information, as listed here. Maybe in the past, most of the strategies used for nitrogen management were the uniform rate strategy, where the same rate of nitrogen fertilizers applied over a field. And of course, more recently, as site-specific technologies have emerged, we've had the ability to vary nitrogen rates within fields. Now, we said one of the guiding constraints here is it has to be simple and convenient. And unfortunately, the nitrogen cycle in soil, as all of us know, especially those of us who make our living at soil science, know that this is a very complicated system, and that we're trying to understand and predict what it's going to do in the field for a particular farmer. And this is complicated enough, but it's by far a fairly simplified version of the nitrogen cycle in soil. So how do we kind of tackle that complicated system and come up with some algorithm or some approach that's easy to use that can give a reasonable estimate of the nitrogen requirement of a corn crop? Now, I am presenting data that I've borrowed or has been given to me or lent to me from a variety of people, and some of it is in different units. So we're going to bounce around from units a little bit, from the kilograms and meters and hectares over to the bushels, acres, and pounds, but I'll try to note that when we make the change. But in this slide, of course, a long-standing approach to making nitrogen fertilizer recommendations for corn crops was using this yield goal approach from Haft and his co-workers, Now, that strange coefficient you see there, multiplied times the target yield, that's when you use kilograms and in hectares. It's our old standard 1.2 if you use bushels, pounds, and acres. And I think everybody is pretty familiar with the way that system was used. And as a number of speakers have presented today and reminded us, that there's been a ton of work done on nitrogen response over many, many environments throughout North America, which includes Canada and its nearest neighbor country to the south. And they all have pretty much this, similar findings, and that is that the correlation between the recommended nitrogen rate in the plot studies and the optimum nitrogen rate, determined from having applied a range of N rates, is quite low. Generally, the economically optimum N rate determined by across all these many environments was at an R squared of less than 0.1 or less than 10% of the variation is explained. That's not real good. There may be a little bit better correlation in some of the lower organic matter soils with irrigation, but still, as these data from Blackmer shows, the correlation is very, very low. And with further work here just not too many years ago, additional findings were also discovered. First of all, and then this also has been touched on by previous speakers today, that the economically optimum N rates in these sub-regions of these cornfields varied widely. I mean, Ken reported on this even just a few minutes ago, from below 30 to greater than 200 kilograms N per hectare was that economically optimum N rate. The idea that high yielding portions of field or high yielding fields should require higher N rates has been debunked. In many cases, non-responsive high yielding sites were common, as well as responsive low yielding sites. The best predictor of EONR was the yield of control plots receiving no nitrogen. Again, the delta yield concept that we heard about from our first speaker today. Unfortunately, as a practicing agronomist, that's something that you use as a postmortem. It's available, that information is available after the season's over, and it's maybe in the long-term sense can help you calibrate your thinking on nitrogen management. But for this year, this crop, it's the information comes a little bit too late. And many of investigators have found that nitrogen response was not related to soil type, landscape position, drainage class, or other site features. And a real problem that nitrogen response patterns varied dramatically from one season to the next, even if the yield patterns in the field were similar from year to year. And this was first demonstrated, that I'm aware of anyway, by Gary Malzer back in the 90s, late 90s, up in Minnesota, where he looked, put a nitrogen strip test over an entire farm field. This is about a 17 hectare field, pretty good sized field, where they put out repeated strips of different N rates and were able to determine the economically optimum N rate across this whole field. And as you can see, again, it varies widely from very low to well above 200 kilograms of N per hectare. And that was in one crop. But of course, we'll go back in the next corn crop in this field and we'll get a similar pattern, right? Well, unfortunately, no. He was one of the few that has actually gone back on the same site and looked at it again. And as you can see, there's quite a different pattern of economically optimum N rates in the same field in two consecutive corn crops. This is a bit of a problem when trying to predict what a field will require as a nitrogen rate. And we've seen quite a bit of work from Missouri. There's some more from several years ago that Peter Scarf and his co-workers let me use. In this case, they did basically the same thing that Malzer did and install multiple N rates throughout this entire field in 20 by 40 meter blocks, and then basically did an N rate experiment in each one of those blocks and came up with this result, where the optimum N rates are color-coded from 0 to 75 in the dark blue to 200 to 250, and this is pounds per acre. Again, we're shifting to pounds per acre in the red. So you can see this is quite variable. In fact, you can see dark red and dark blue shading in these boxes right next door to each other in some of these parts of the field. So it's really quite a lot of variation. And most time, this is kind of where we stop with our analysis and say, wow, this is a lot of variation. But it also gives us the ability to do some what-if nitrogen rate scenario testing in these variable fields to ask ourselves, if we had applied this nitrogen rate or that nitrogen rate, what would have happened, both in terms of yield, nitrogen use, as well as economic return. So in each of these blocks, with the different color shading, we have a quadratic, in most cases, a quadratic plateau function, as well as the inflection point, as shown here for this one example grid cell. And we can use the N response function in each one of these cells then to calculate crop response to different uniform or variable nitrogen rate strategies. So I've kind of done that. This is a little bit new wrinkle compared to anything else I presented before, and I certainly couldn't have done it without Peter's help. And what I wanted to do was show what percent of a field receives the correct amount of nitrogen based on our knowledge of this field if we had known that information earlier. It's kind of hard to explain, but anyway, you can see that in a retrospective sense, if we had applied a range of nitrogen application rates from 0 up to 250, several things happen as we go from 0 to 250. First of all, at 0 nitrogen rate, we basically are under-fertilizing 100% of the field. That's shown by the kind of the pink line and symbols. And then as nitrogen rate increases, as of course, the amount, the percentage of that field area of this field, and this is averaged over the 8 fields that he had data for, it drops, and then at 250 pounds, as we approach that, virtually all of the field, virtually none of the field is under-fertilized. But just take a look at the dark navy blue line, the percent of that field is correct. Okay, as we start at 0 pounds, none of the field area is fertilized correctly if we had applied that rate. As we increased our hypothetical nitrogen rate up to about 80 or 90 and then up to maybe 130, we kind of hit a plateau in the high 30% region. About 35-38% of that field is fertilized correctly. And then as we raise the nitrogen rate above that, the amount of that field fertilized correctly starts to drop off again. So if anything, these data here are another call to getting away from uniform nitrogen management in fields. If the very best we can do, even if we're omniscient and we know what we should have done in this field with data that's never available at the beginning of the season, the best we can ever do is about 38% based on these fields from Missouri. We can also take a look at what might have happened with different uniform and variable rate scenarios if we use this information. If we follow the university nitrogen recommendation from University of Missouri, the average N rate averaged across all of these 8 sites would have been 162 pounds per acre, resulting in a yield of 169 bushels per acre and a net return, in this case, dollars per acre, 446. If we use that as our reference, we can then compare that to these other two strategies. The middle one is just a whole field uniform optimum N rate. If we had applied the optimum whole field N rate, it would have been 133 pounds average across these 8 fields, resulting in a yield really very similar, actually no different than what we had with the university N approach. But we would have saved about, or we would have made about $8 more. And with variable rate nitrogen, using just the optimum rate for each of those 20 by 40 meter areas in all those fields, we would have applied 126 pounds of N on average to these 8 fields, resulting in a yield of 171 bushels and giving us $18 per acre more return than just by following the university N recommendation. So you can say, oh good, variable rate nitrogen has a value of 18 bucks an acre. Well, be a little bit careful. We knew what the outcome was before we made these what-if calculations. So it's kind of like investing in the stock market when you have tomorrow's stock market report in the newspaper in hand making your predictions. So it really presents the potential benefit of variable rate nitrogen management. Just to go through, and really this is a review of some of the various types of variable rate nitrogen strategies that have been used or are being used today. First of all is the proactive strategy where you develop a plan ahead of time before the season starts. These are generally field or soil based on various things, grid sampling, field photos, soil color, these type of things. Generally, they're met with quite a bit number of limitations as shown here, and a lot of work has been done on it. But most of the work today now is going into this second type that Ken and Bill and Jim Shepherds have all been working on. That are these are the reactive strategies that's crop-based, where you actually measure some aspect of the crop canopy to indicate nitrogen stress in the field and then apply nitrogen only where needed and in the quantities needed. There's both a real-time approach, a near real-time approach, and a real-time. Let's take Peter Scarf and also one of our previous speakers, Larry Henderson, talked about this, where you use some type of aerial image to create an application map and then quickly respond, quickly get back into that field using that information in your variable rate controller to then apply the correct amount of nitrogen over the various subregions of that field. And there is a definite improvement in the correlation between the recommended rate and what really truly was the optimum rate in that field. Of course, a number of speakers have talked about taking advantage of the response of corn and the color of corn foliage to nitrogen sufficiency or deficiency in creating an actual real-time nitrogen map in the field. This is one an early approach that was used in Nebraska, where they actually use these both upward and downward looking sensors to sense the crop canopy and then deliver a nitrogen solution on demand as they pass through the field, functioning, as John Shanahan said, like a rolling SPAD meter. And then, of course, Bill has very carefully and completely described the historical evolution and many of the other aspects of this same approach to real-time variable rate nitrogen application in the field using the NTEC or the crop circle type sensors, and has done very well in some applications. It looks at a much smaller area than some of the earlier attempts and has real promise. Just to get back to my original charge here in my presentation, what are some of the challenges? Some of the main challenges are listed here. Again, the potential cost savings are relatively modest for variable rate nitrogen, $12 to $44 U.S. per hectare. And that's if we can really, really, that's the potential, that's the maximum that we can actually achieve most likely. The prescriptive end strategies, which have kind of been dropped in practice, they are, and perhaps because they cannot respond to unexpected in-season crop conditions, if you have to kind of play your hand out before the season starts and make your decision and live with it. The reactive strategies can limit yield potential because you do have to wait until the crop is established, and if there is very early season nutrient deficiency, that can result in some yield loss that may not be retrievable or correctable. And of course, no one will argue that it does require a higher level of management. And of course, the inclusion of uniform end rate strips is also required in a number of these approaches. Variable nitrogen management in the future, I think it has to be in our future. I'm agreeing with Bill. We just can't wave the white flag. Uniform rate application is just not that satisfactory. It's kind of the best we can do now. It is simple, and growers have made it work, but we can do a lot better. Any method of variable rate nitrogen and any strategy that's based on yield goal or productivity index or soil type definitely needs to be carefully validated in field research. There are becoming available a number of simulation models that can be perhaps helpful in evaluating the importance of various components in the whole plant soil system that are helping describe how plants respond to nitrogen and what need to be incorporated in these algorithms that, various devices are using. Again, and then this highlights what other speakers have said, we do need to customize any variable rate nitrogen strategy to fit local soil, climatic, and agronomic conditions. And then as a non-engineer and a non-primarily academic person, my final statement is this. Again, in the future, any variable rate nitrogen scheme must be convenient and simple to implement at the grower level. And with that, I will thank you, and if we have time, we're happy to take a few questions.
We sure do. Any questions for Dr. Dorgey?
If not, I'll take the smiling faces in the audience as a vote of confidence. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.